everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Big Sexy Hummer. I'm here with my brother, Little Sexy Doug Hummer.
Aw. You think I'm a little sexy?
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. How's everybody doing?
Eric's here, too. How you doing, Eric?
What's up?
He's pint-sized sexy.
Yeah, he's hitting the sexy meter a little bit. Glynis should be here in a little bit. So
he's medium sexy.
Yeah. Whenever he can drop by, you guys have had a lot of good times in the steam room.
Yeah. That's how I know he's medium sexy.
Yeah, let's get this back on the right path. WrestleMania 23 here we're talking about. This is going to be a fun one. We got John Cena and Shawn Michaels in the main event, and also one of my favorite matches of all time, and Undertaker and Batista. So we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. But before we do all that, let's go to Doug with the plugs.
All right, make sure you listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday night, Mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. And then, of course, Saturday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, blog, or Mixer.com/Hollywood Hangout. For, of course, the Hollywood Hangout. Listen to us, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday night for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Your blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. Next week, we're going to do a doubleheader. Instead of just doing WrestleMania 3, because we're changing things up. So on April 1st, we were going to do WrestleMania 8. But instead, we're going to do WrestleMania 3 and WrestleMania 8 next week. So it's a doubleheader. So everybody's got to watch two shows next week. 7 hours of wrestling, by the way. So that's
changing that April 1st.
I'm getting
why
we're doing 3 and 8 both next week, Eric. Give me a minute.
Okay.
The reason why we're doing both 3 and 8 next week is because on April 1st, because that is the night that The Undertaker gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, we are going to do a retrospective on The Undertaker's WrestleMania streak.
We're going to be going through each match. We're going to watch all the matches, obviously. Good luck getting through Giant Gonzalez.
Yeah.
We're going to go through each match and give him a rating, and we're going to talk about the legacy of one of the greatest talked about things in wrestling history, which is Undertaker's WrestleMania streak.
Right, and it's appropriate that we're doing it. Let's face it, he is the headliner for this year's Hall of Fame class, even though I'm sure Booker T is going to try to hand job enough people in the corporate offices to try to get Charmel to be the headliner for the class. Why she's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, I have no freaking clue. Booker married her and his career went down the toilet.
King Booker. She was good at that.
Like the Chick-fil-A I ate last night. But anyway, before I say something that could really get us in trouble, So that's what we're doing on April 1st. April 8th, we're going to pay tribute to Scott Hall because, unfortunately, you know, he passed away this past Monday night. We're going to do the tribute episode because I wanted to wait a couple weeks so everybody else could do their tributes, and then we'll do ours. I know, you know, he tried to fight a little bit on Monday, you know, after he got taken off of life support. Eric and I actually had a little bit of a little bit of a disagreement because when he said that, you know, rest in peace, Scott Hall, I said I wanted proof because everybody else had been posting rest in peace all day.
Yeah.
So that's going to be on April 8th. Now, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Provided Daniel is home, it will be Unscripted Unlimited. And tomorrow's Unscripted Unlimited will be a retrospective on everything Ninja Turtles.
It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah. And of course, Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Scaredy Cats, Daniel and Mindy.
Yes.
I'm sure they will announce what they are going to do.
Yeah. She announced it.
On TikTok or something,
yeah,
right?
Check the TikTok.
All right, so check that. Clintus, where the hell are you?
I'm sure he'll come answer that question at some point, but I'm assuming you're done.
Yes.
WrestleMania 23. This is a big one, gentlemen. One of the better, I mean, technically this isn't the modern era, but of that Ruthless Aggression era, one of the better WrestleManias, and really an entertaining one. And going back and looking back, even though I kind of almost passed out during the main event, but it was a long day, watching this again was a lot of fun. And seeing all these matches, and it really was a stacked card with a lot of talent. Like, all these guys are basically Hall of Famers. Everybody on the card. Even Great Khali,
he was inducted.
He was.
Yeah, last year.
Okay, so there you go. So, I mean, you know, right down to, you know, the dark match. The dark match was Carlito and Ric Flair and Chavo Guerrero and Gregory Helms. So when that's your dark match, you know, it's probably a good card. Not that that's the greatest match of all time, but those are four good workers.
Yeah.
So we start this out, and you want to give a little background around the some of the big builds and everything, Doug?
So 2007 was starting to be a really good year, like, in wrestling. They had that awesome Royal Rumble. They had a really good main event match for No Way Out.
Yeah.
You know, they had this WrestleMania, which was awesome. And then, you know, a couple of not-so-good pay-per-views. But then everything went to hell when somebody decided that his wife and child needed to no longer live. But that's another story. But, like, the build for WrestleMania 7, the biggest build, like, it was almost like a triple main event. Undertaker, Batista for the world title.
Yeah.
Umaga and Bobby Lashley in the Battle of the Billionaires. Back then it was Battle of the Billionaires. Like, if they did that today, it would probably be Battle of the Butt-Fucking Assholes. And, of course, John Cena and Shawn Michaels for the WWE title. And, though, again, that was your triple main event, but you also had a very stacked Money in the Bank ladder match. You had Kane and Great Khali, and this is back when they actually gave a fuck about pushing Khali.
Yeah.
You had Chris Benoit and MVP for the U.S. title. You had the ECW matchup, which was a big deal. You had Melina and Ashley.
Right.
Because they were capitalizing on Ashley being in Playboy. But it's like,
unfortunately, she passed away a couple years later.
But yeah, like, this WrestleMania, this was well built, because if you think about it, that Raw that we watched, that we reviewed about a month or so ago, that started to build to a lot of this. It started to build to Undertaker Batista. It started to build to Cena and Shawn.
For sure. And without going into it too much, I mean, this did happen like 10-plus years ago, a long time ago. But if anybody hasn't seen it, without giving like a spoiler or anything, would you recommend this for a wrestling fan to go back and watch?
There's very few...
Clintus, welcome to the program.
Hey.
All right. Would I recommend it? There are a few WrestleManias I would recommend.
Yeah.
This would probably be, like, if I were going to, like, give somebody a list of, like, top 10 WrestleManias to watch.
Yeah.
This would actually be number 4.
Yeah.
So, yes, I would recommend
it. It's on my list.
I mean, for any, like, Batista fan or John Cena, or people that like that kind of generation, it's definitely for them. All right, well, let's get into it then. We're in Detroit, Michigan at Ford Field. We got 80,000, even though they said 80,000. Yeah. But you know how WWE is.
Yeah.
The buy rate was...
Is that the rate?
1,200,000?
Yeah, so there was 1.2 million pay-per-view buys.
Yes. So popped a pretty good number.
Which was the biggest, which would hold the record for the biggest WrestleMania until the first Cena Rock match, I think. It was either the first Cena Rock match or the second.
Oh, yeah. So popped a good number.
Popped a good number. They were doing really good business because Cena was on fire. You know, they had the deal, people were actually thinking Trump was going to lose.
Yeah.
So, you know, that pop. No, he was in that Battle of the Billionaires. Bobby Lashley represented him.
Oh, okay.
But it was hair versus hair.
Yeah. So people, and, you know, while other celebrities were hoping, it was like, oh, we hope to see this motherfucker get humiliated. So because you had so many guys that were on fire and so many popular guys, and wrestling was still technically hot, and Trump
was. That's when I got back into it.
Yeah, because this is the year that you actually got back into it, right?
Yeah, full time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was still hot at the time. Unfortunately, you know, like I said, later on in the year, things took a bad turn. But here, like, you still had, like, the fans were still with it.
Yeah. No, for sure.
First match, they start off hot with the Money in the Bank, and this is around the time where they did that every year before you had a Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Clintus, I'm going to ask you, do you think that Money in the Bank was better as a WrestleMania kind of staple, or do you like it as its own thing on the pay-per-view?
I think it, well, if you look at it now, what Money in the Bank evolved into, knowing that both the men and women's, on that aspect, is better as its own staple. Because you have both the men and women. I can probably picture them now with a two-night WrestleMania. If they move it to just being a WrestleMania night, one night for the men's and one night for the women's, it'll be great as a WrestleMania old thing again. I don't think it needed its own pay-per-view.
This is a Chris Jericho creation, right, Doug?
It was Jericho's. I mean, well, he came up with it on camera, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is probably one of the more stacked Money in the Bank ladder matches that they had.
Yeah. No, it was you got some big names in this. You got Kennedy, you got CM Punk, Edge, Finley, Jeff Hardy, King Booker, Matt Hardy, and Randy Orton. That's a Hall of Fame class right there. So.
Well, I mean, if Kennedy were going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, they actually need a written permission slip from Orton, Cena, and Triple H first.
So, Eric, what did we think of this one? And what did you think about Kennedy going over all those big names?
I enjoyed this Money in the Bank. It's probably one of my favorite. It had a lot of action, a lot of at the time, I thought Kennedy was a surprise to win. I mean, obviously, we know what happened after. He didn't really keep the belt. But keep the Money in the Bank briefcase, I mean. But I thought it was a good match, and for him to go over, I thought it was good. Is there a reason why he didn't keep the belt, Doug?
Yeah. So he wins Money in the Bank, obviously, and Undertaker had torn a bicep. So they had to get the title off. They were going to have Kennedy do it. Well, Kennedy got hurt in at a live event, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, you tore your tricep. You know, you're going to be out for 6 months. And he's like, all right. So they do the thing. Edge takes the briefcase off him. They do the switch. Kennedy go. Now, he went. At first, he went to a WWE doctor.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in order to be a WWE doctor, the only education you need to have is you need to have won 3 games of the board game Operation. That is your qualification. Then, Ang, you also need to not mind telling men to turn their heads and cough.
You could be a good WWE doctor.
Yeah. And I'd look great in a thong. So Kennedy went to his doctor and he goes, you know, I tore my tricep. I want you to do the surgery. So doctor looks at him, kind of feels around, takes x-rays, says, your tricep's not torn.
Yeah.
He goes, I mean, we'll like rehab. It just needs a quick rehab. You're going to be out 3 weeks max. And he's just like, well, they told me I was going to be out for, the WWE doctor said I was going to be out for 6 months. And his doctor goes, well, you're not. So they screwed you. So, yeah, he realized he got screwed. I don't think he got screwed on purpose. I really do think that WWE doctors are just, I don't think they're cutthroat. I just think they're stupid. Well, the WWE doctor they have now's last name is Maroon. Okay. So, but, yeah. So, that's the reason why, because WWE doctors aren't qualified to be proctologists. That's why, you know, that's why Kennedy didn't hold the briefcase very long.
So he got fucked.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. But it was, I mean, this is the biggest moment of his WWE career.
Yeah, exactly. And then he was going to have that other big WWE moment when they were going to name him as Vince's son.
But he pissed off Randy.
No, this was because he was supposed to be the illegitimate son reveal.
Yeah.
But then the...
But they did Swaggle.
Yeah, because there was an article that come out. Some doctor posted, again, another doctor fucked him, posted an article of like 12 guys that were getting prescription drugs or something like that without valid prescriptions in their name, and like his name, Morrison's name, Booker's name, which by the way, Booker's name made the list after he basically told the company he was done. I'm okay with Booker getting fucked, but still he got fucked. And then like several other people. So again, that's why Kennedy's push had to get, or that's why Kennedy again got pushed over because of another fucking doctor.
Right.
So, either Kennedy, doctors don't like Mr. Kennedy. I don't know if he, you know, if he started a doctor's wife club or if he doesn't pay his co-pays or whatever. But, you know, doctors are apparently not his friends. Or if he beat one in a golf game. Or maybe he owes one of them a prostate exam. I don't know. You can stop me at any time and turn
fun.
It to somebody else.
You can stop yourself, too. I'm having fun.
Daniel's supposed to be the host of the show. He is supposed to have order.
I have order. And I guess the order is for you to be a dumbass sometimes, and I find it hilarious. So
I'm like glad I'm here to help.
I thought it was a good match. I thought all the spots in were good. Jeff did Jeff stuff. Him and Matt had a little back and forth, which was cool. CM Punk, obviously, yeah. The rising star. And he won it the year before, right?
He won it the year after.
Yeah.
He won it the next 2 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Edge coming in as the previous winner, it was a big deal. Randy Orton gave a lot of star power to this match. So it was a lot of fun. I thought this was a good like train wreck to start the show. It was 25 minutes of brutality.
And by the way, Edge was coming off a jaw injury. And that's one of the reasons why they actually they took him out early.
Yeah.
Because Rob Van Dam broke Edge's jaw. Obviously, he didn't do a good enough job because Edge was still able to talk. But on the episode of Raw where Edge qualified for Money in the Bank,
yeah,
Van Dam kicked him too hard in the mouth and ended up breaking his jaw. So he spent like the next like month and a half getting out of every match he was scheduled in. So he then and then he was in this match. His jaw still hadn't healed. So they found a way. Now, I don't know like how, you know, it, the safest way to take him out of a match is fucking have him crash through a ladder.
Face up.
Yeah.
All right. Clemeth, what do you think of this one?
I mean, I enjoyed it, Matt. A little one. From what I remember, I didn't really get a chance to watch it this week because I was so busy. From what I do remember of it, I enjoyed the high spot of it. And I agree with Kenny going over. So to me, I think this was supposed to be Kenny's year to win a championship. He was that big of a star.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you that I think it was a good booking decision because, I mean, not foreshadowing what would happen with Kennedy, maybe not, but, like, at the time, this probably was the best choice because you had all these, like, big names in it, and he kind of needed it the most. You know, Finley's not going for a title run or anything, so it was cool to have Mr. Kennedy win it, and it kind of gave him legitimacy, which he already had from, like, beating The Undertaker and shit, even though that match sucked. But Kennedy was really, I think he did need it, and it was nice to see him win. It was a fresh face.
Yeah.
Fresh faces are always good. Overall, I give the match 8 out of 10 stars. I thought it was really good.
I give it 8.5.
He nasty?
I give it a 9.
See, nasty?
9.
All right.
Thank you.
I tried my best.
That's what I've heard them call you in the steam room.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
I was waiting for something. Great Khali and Kane, equally as legendary.
Oh, my God. They had this match just so they could recreate the WrestleMania 3 spot where, Hogan slamming Andre, which we'll talk about next week. And basically, they had Hogan play the part of Kane play the part of Hogan, and Great Khali, you know, play the part of Andre.
Yeah.
Which Andre was never a great athlete, but he was still 10 times better than Khali.
Yeah, I can't watch Khali much.
Yeah, it sucked. I mean, it's basically Kane's Giant Gonzalez match.
Yeah.
It's like when they went to Undertaker, it's like, I'm sorry, brother. They did the same thing to Kane. I'm sorry, brother, but you're a good big man worker, but you got Khali tonight. Khali looked kind of strong. I mean, it was very – his, like, move that – what would it be called? The vice choke?
Oh, the head vice or whatever?
Yeah, to the slam. What would that be called?
Oh, when he would pick the Khali bomb or whatever,
Khali
right?
Khali bomb, okay. But, I mean, it looked menacing enough, but Kane was kind of kicking his ass a little bit, and then he just comes out with that out of nowhere and wins, and then JR is like, the complete domination. It's like, the domination. It went 5 minutes, and he did one move. What the fuck you mean, the domination? I mean, it wasn't a good match. It kind of sucked. I give this a 2-star.
Yeah, I would give it 1.5.
Quintus?
I give it a 0, because I unfortunately, not unfortunately, but I skipped through it because I didn't want to watch.
I'll give it a 1.
Khali gets no love?
No love. Not this version of the Khali.
Yeah, the Pujami Playboy gets a little love.
Yeah.
Well, before this next match, when's the skit with the Legends and Kelly and shit?
Let's talk.
That was like right before the U.S. title match, right?
Okay, well then I put it in at the right time. It was hilarious. It was, first of all, no part of that skit would fly in 2022.
No.
Just nothing of them. Because, like, we've talked about how, like, Crime Time, and that's, like, it's kind of, that's not going to fly, because those are two legendary, that's a really good tag team that had, like, potential, and they kind of got saddled with kind of a fucked up gimmick, just because Vince doesn't really understand anything besides his little bubble. And the old guys dancing on Kelly Kelly and stuff. I mean, it was fun and it was a good time, but...
I mean, the biggest takeaway for me, like, back then was the fact that Ricky Steamboat came back out, because it was up until then, like, right before then, Ricky Steamboat still didn't own the name. His ex-wife won the rights to the name when they got divorced in 2003.
Yeah.
So... big surprise, that bitch, you know, ruined something else.
Yeah.
Because she had the rights to the name, and she wasn't, even though, you know, Ricky thanked her for everything she did for him, you know, when he had his Hall of Fame speech, you know, for, you know, 3-4 years, she basically held the name hostage. So when he got interviewed, he, like, for DVDs and shit.
Yeah.
He was only allowed to go by his real name, which is Richard Blood.
Yeah.
He couldn't go by Ricky Steamboat.
Did she own the Dragon, too?
Yeah. She owned, like, the entire wrestling name.
That's fucked up.
It's not the first time that it's happened, because for the longest time, Bill Watts didn't have access to the Mid-South footage. His ex-wife did. Why these guys would include that in a settlement to women who really have nothing to do with the wrestling business. And I'm not, I am knocking Bonnie Steamboat because I think she's a fucking leech, but, and you know, I talk all the time about Charmel ruining Booker's career. You know, Bonnie basically did the same thing for Ricky. But like, she had nothing to do with the wrestling business. I mean, she wanted to be in it because she wanted to be on TV. That was her thing. But, yeah, but the whole big thing was him coming out with the gi on and, you know, having the dragon on the back.
And started dancing, too.
That's basically because of the legendary match he had 20 years earlier at WrestleMania 3 in Detroit. That's basically, you know, what that was. You know, before I get too off track, you know, talking about my hatred for wrestler wives.
So you got anything else or no?
On that segment, I'll say this. It's a damn shame that, like, they cut all ties with Slick.
Mm-hmm.
Because you talk about an entertaining character.
Yeah, Slick was fun.
I mean... it's understandable why they cut all ties with him, because he put himself in the concussion lawsuit, or somebody put him in it, or whatever. So, like, WWE really doesn't go to him, because they used to go to him a lot. They'd be like, hey, you want to make a payday? And he's like, yeah. Because he was actually the one that officiated Daniel Bryan and AJ Lee's wedding at that Raw 1000.
Yeah.
Because he actually is an ordained minister.
That's sweet.
But yeah, I mean, it's a fun little segment, but like you said, it would not fly today.
Yeah. So let's get in the
Benoit. Do you have somebody in the chat?
Stevie back in? I don't know.
Yeah.
See when we're into the episode.
Where's Charmel going on this? She's done nothing in this business. I agree, Stevie. And it's great to have you. Well, let's get into Benoit MVP. Benoit, you can say what you got to say about Benoit, and we've already kind of said that we separate the art from the artist. We understand people that don't, and we understand, I do. I mean, you've gone off on the subject. But I understand people that don't, and people that don't want to watch it and indulge in it because it makes them uncomfortable. I understand, and I get it.
I try to separate the art from the artist in some cases, and Chris Benoit's work is one of those cases, because what he did in between the ropes was nothing short of phenomenal, which made a guy like MVP, when MVP now, oh my God, career resurgence, MVP probably going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. But back then he was extremely green, and they put on a pretty good technical matchup for just under 10 minutes. And it was believable, and it was good, and MVP still looked good even though he lost. I thought this match was better than anticipated.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a couple names.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Heenan, Captain Lou Albano, Classy Freddie Blassie.
Yeah.
Okay, all managers that started off as wrestlers but were better managers than wrestlers.
Yeah.
Just like MVP. I mean, and MVP was a damn good wrestler.
But yeah, that's the thing, though. He can go.
He can go, but like the career resurgence was as a manager.
Yeah, the mouthpiece to Bobby Lashley, because he needed one.
And he does a damn fine job. Do I find MVP annoying?
Do you think
yeah.
Bobby Lashley needs a runoff pizza?
What, Clintus?
Do you really think Bobby Lashley needs a mouthpiece, though?
When you can't cut a promo, yeah.
I mean, you can go out and be a beast. Do you think Bobby can cut a promo?
I mean, I was a bit. I think he's okay with it. But I think as a single competitor, I think it was nothing wrong with a single run, even though before he even had MVP in his corner. I mean, these guys go back to Impact his days, the wrestling.
He was pretty good in Impact, but he was also around Lashley and stuff. Not Lashley.
Yeah, no, that's
MVP.
Not my business. Yeah, that's the relationship. MVP.
Yeah. Here's the only thing I'll say is before the run with MVP, which kind of made Bobby Lashley's career, he did the shit with Lana. So MVP was definitely a fucking upgrade, and it helped his career a lot than the shit with Lana.
Here's the thing, though. Before the Lana thing, he had Leo Rush. Now, if Leo Rush wasn't such a bastard,
that was cool. Leo Rush was a good mouthpiece for him, too.
And that's the thing. That's what I'm saying, is that Bobby Lashley could thrive with other people, not just MVP, unless it's Lana.
But think about other times he didn't have a mouthpiece. The Sami Zayn program. One of the worst programs in professional wrestling.
Yeah, but that's also because Bobby Lashley should not be.
That was a horrible writing. That was horrible writing. That was not.
It was bad writing. I agree with you. But I think Bobby's good with someone that could, especially as a heel, because MVP's his Paul Heyman, and that's great. He goes out there, gets the business done, and he doesn't need to talk. We don't need to hear him because he's a tough son of a bitch, just like Brock is. So then you get a guy that's next to him. MVP can obviously handle his own business a little more than Paul, but still, you get a guy next to him that talks about how fucking cool this guy is. I like the Leo Rush stuff and the Almighty, and I thought that stuff was cool, too, because it was a little guy talking about how cool this guy was, and Bobby would get pissed at him. That stuff was cool, too, but MVP brings a different style and flair to whoever he's next to, and when you get that rub just from being next to MVP, it's special.
Yeah,
so he is a really good manager. In the ring, what he did against Benoit, I can respect it. I thought it was pretty good, especially against a veteran like Benoit.
Yeah, it was a good match. Again, it was just kind of a match that was thrown together.
Yeah.
But it was a really good match because these two could work really well together.
Yes. And they did.
Yeah.
I like the match.
I mean, I'd give it a 6.
Yeah, I'd go 6.
I'll give it a 6.5.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, something that if anyone gives a 6, I'm hopping through this laptop. Undertaker and Batista. Still probably my favorite WrestleMania match of all time, just as a diehard Batista fan as a kid. And I remember watching this, and a good friend of ours, Kenny West, I don't know if he's listening. If he is, hi, Kenny. If not, fuck you. Put down the games and listen to this. Support your friends. But Undertaker and Batista put on a legend for two big guys. Whenever you got two big guys, it's two scenarios. One, it turns out really entertaining and special, or two, it's a fucking train wreck. This was the first one. This was really good. Two guys that put everything out there in 15 minutes. Batista put them through the table. It had high spots. It had drama. It had a great build-up. Like we said, we saw the start of that build-up at Raw when fucking Undertaker picks Batista, and it's really cool. And that was the Raw, right?
Yes.
Okay, because you gave me a weird look. But Undertaker and Batista, they just put on a legendary performance. And Batista showed why he deserved to be there. And the right guy still won. And it kept the streak alive. And Undertaker got a world championship. And it was awesome on all sides of the board. It was two babyface going against each other, and it worked. The crowd wasn't so nice to Batista, yeah, but it worked for two babies going against each other.
And by the way, the crowd wasn't so nice to Batista, not because they didn't like Batista.
They just loved The Undertaker.
Yeah. And that's the funny thing. That's the thing about babyface versus babyface matches, is that, like, even though they're both babyfaces, somebody has to play the heel.
Yeah.
Because if you just get two guys that everybody likes, it was the same thing with Cena and Michaels, which we're going to talk about in a little while.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
But they loved Shawn Michaels because they respected Shawn.
Yeah. But and Batista seemed to kind of understand that and almost play with it a little bit,
yeah,
too. But he was still like a babyface and doing his shit, but he wasn't trying to play the crowd as much as he usually does. And I think that was on purpose. And these two just put on a spectacle. And this was like the first one. No offense to Randy Orton, because their match a couple of years prior was all right. Mark Henry sucked, obviously. No offense to Mark Henry. I love Mark Henry, but that casket match wasn't that great. This was the first match in that string of, like, legendary WrestleMania matches for Undertaker. Because after this, you go, who do you go?
Michaels.
Who's
24?
Edge.
24 is Edge, main event,
Edge.
Great match. 25, Shawn, one of the greatest matches of all time. 26 is Shawn, one of my favorite, man. I think it's better than the other one, but I'm in the minority for that.
Yeah.
But I love the career versus streak shit. I thought that was awesome. Then the first match was Triple H, which was really good. End of an era, which I love.
The second match of Triple H. Get it right. The second match of Triple H.
It was the first in the string, but yes, the second technical WrestleMania match of Triple H, but first in the string of great WrestleMania matches.
Well,
for
the match at 17 with Triple H was very good, though.
It was very good, but I'm talking about he had a string of matches. This is the string. It goes Batista, Edge, Shawn twice, Triple H twice, Punk.
Yeah.
And then it kind of stopped.
And then afterwards it went to hell.
Punk was his last great WrestleMania match. Brock, come on. That wasn't great. We talked about it a few days.
I know.
A few weeks. That wasn't great. That was a good moment. It was cool. That wasn't a great match. I mean, fucking Undertaker was concussed 2 minutes in it. But these,
yeah, exactly.
This string of matches was fucking legendary, and this was the first one.
Yeah. I mean,
I agree with that.
I mean, and again, he had had good matches, like, up to that point. Again, he had back-to-back really good ones at 17 and 18.
Yeah.
Because he worked with Triple H and then he worked with Flair.
Well, I mean, come on.
I mean,
the Flair match was all right.
It was good enough.
Yeah. It wasn't compared to anything in this string, though.
Not in this string, no. I mean, I have a sentimental value of art because Sharon and I were there.
I know, but if you look back, like, it was a good match.
And by the way, like, that's actually a match where, like, Vince wanted Undertaker to work with RVD. It was either RVD or Flair, and Undertaker said, I want to work with Flair.
Oh, they've done a lot for RVD, but I understand respecting Flair and everything.
Yeah, that's what he said. He's like, look, I got plenty of time to work with RVD. Flair can only be with us. I mean, I think...
He didn't know Flair would be there for 10 more fucking years.
Yeah. I mean, I think the fact that, yeah, he's like, you know, who knows how much longer Flair had. I'm pretty sure that was wishful thinking.
But what would we give this match out of 10? Clintus, I'm going to start with you.
This match, I'll definitely give it 8.5.
All right, Eric, what did you think?
I'll give it a 9.
Doug?
9.
And I'm going to go 10.
What?
I think this... Huh?
You sound like you're ready to drunk to the floor or kill us all with these ratings.
No, I mean, 8's a respect. Eights and nines are respectable. I understand that. If it would have got a six, then I would have been a little salty. But yeah, I mean, I'm a Batista fan, so that you know, there's a little bias there. But I just thought these. I mean, Batista, even like he walked in the back, was like, follow that to everybody, and like it's pretty. It's known as a really good match for these. I don't think anyone. I think it's because I, going into this, even as a kid, I wasn't expecting it to be this. I was expecting it to be Undertaker and Brock. You know, I didn't think these two would put on, and these two had great chemistry. So it's a 10 for me, but I understand everybody else's ratings. But let's move on to the ECW Originals versus the New Breed. The New Breed, one of the greatest factions of all time, Elijah Burke, Kevin Thorne, Marcus Corvan, and Matt Stryker with the beautiful aerial, against the ECW Originals, Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, Sabu, and Mr. RVD.
So, funny note about this match. The only reason why Sabu was in this match and actually still in the company at the time is because they needed him to induct his uncle into the Hall of Fame.
The Sheik?
Yeah. Which they did the night before, but people had said, they're like, and apparently Sabu was informed, they're like, look, the only reason why you're still fucking here, because they had had enough of him. They wanted him gone. He didn't want to be there, but he's like, the only reason why you're still here is because we want you to induct your uncle.
Yeah.
After we do that, then more than likely we're going to get rid of you.
Right.
And the next month he was gone. Because he wasn't happy there.
You were supposed to meet him.
Yeah. Well, Daniel, you actually did meet him at the other convention, right?
Yeah, I did meet him. And I complimented him on his big jar of weed. Nice guy.
Yeah. you know, unfortunately, he's kind of gone through some hard times lately. His longtime girlfriend, unfortunately, passed away about 6 months ago.
Yeah, I met her, too. She was there.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, again, that's unfortunate.
R.I.P., yeah, that's very sad.
Yeah, R.I.P. definitely to her.
This match sucked.
It did. And what's funny was they did the rematch a couple days later on WWE CW.
Yeah.
And they made that the Extreme Rules match.
Yeah.
Why the fuck couldn't they do that here?
It was an ECW match that wasn't Extreme Rules. It didn't make any sense. And, you know, Taz, like
exactly.
He was so excited. And it's like, Taz, I know you're not this excited. You're pissed off. You guys only get one match. Like, this brand means nothing, and everybody knows it. Shut up. I like ECW, and I think I was one of the three people that did. But
I didn't mind watching it. Like, I thought it was fun.
I didn't mind watching it.
I like to try to get rid of the ECW guys.
If you've never seen ECW and you watch it, it's not a bad wrestling product. But if you've seen ECW and then you watch it and expecting that, you're going to be a pissed off man or female. But it's not the same at all. And it barely had any of that energy in it. Paul tried at first, but it really didn't work. What, Eric?
I think that's clear.
I'll say this.
Oh,
it was there. No, it's me. It was a good moment for the six of them, for the eight of them, but the match sucked.
Yeah.
It was
good
nice
medium
Tommy
moment.
Cry in the ring.
Yeah.
Tommy was happy. Yeah, I give this a 2 out of 10.
I'll give it a 1.5.
I'll give it a 2.5.
I'll give it a 1. That's being nice. The match is
right,
garbage.
Yeah, it was. It sucked ass. Let's get it. I mean, it was kind of an injustice to RVD.
Well, who, by the way,
yeah.
had already, his contract was up in June, and he had let people know back in November that he was not going to resign. He's like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and I don't know why he was pissed off. He was the one that got pulled over with the weed. All right, that's what ended his push, is because he's a moron that got caught with drugs. So why he took it out on the company for something that was his own fucking fault.
Well, they had different problems, too, like them trying to force him to go to tribute to the troops and shit. He didn't like the backstage politics shit. He's like the opposite of a Triple H.
Right.
He didn't want any part of that shit, and that's kind of what derailed his career.
Yeah. But then they finally give him the big push, and then 3 weeks later he gets busted with weed.
With
Sabu, who ended up getting the push.
Based on, and what I said earlier, I mean, I mean, yeah, there you go. But, I mean, RVD was a pothead. Everybody knew that.
Yeah.
Are you really going to fucking...
And then, again, like I said, he went and said, you know, they said, all right, your contract's up in November, or not November, in June. You know, this is in November. They're like, all right, we're going to get something for you. We'll have you resign. He's like, all right, resign. Fuck this place. So then they started doing all this shit where he would do, like, different jobs and all that, and he started putting over Hardcore Holly clean. And it's just like he knew, because, again, he knew right here, he's just like, yeah, I ain't fucking.
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah. Like, when you know in 7 months before your career, before your contract is up, when you know 7 months beforehand that you are not signing an extension.
Yeah, he was done. Let's go on to a more entertaining match. It's something that had a way, it didn't have any business being as good as it was. Bobby Lashley and Umaga, Battle of the Billionaires, Trump and Lashley's Corner, Armando and Mr. McMahon and Umaga's hair versus hair. Armando doesn't get the cut, but McMahon does if he loses, which he does. This was a lot of fun. Get into it, Clemens. What did you think? Stone Cold is the referee.
I mean, I enjoyed the match. One thing I blame this match is why we had Donald Trump as president for 4 years. I blame it on that match, on this match alone. I suck up. This dude he had on WWE TV made him our president for those four lousy, stinking years. And I regret watching and cheering for
him.
Yeah,
you were cheering for him back then, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
That was
cheers for that man. Back. If I would have known what he was going to do today, no. I wanted Vince to win. Look at them both.
What's funny?
I'm there. Went right
back,
kind of.
Back then, celebrities knew how much of a dick he was. Because all the celebrities that were interviewed said, oh, God, please let Trump lose. Like, you had people like John Travolta and William Shatner going, I ask you, Lord, I ask you, get that raccoon off Trump's head.
Well, I don't think he was ever kind of he wasn't really nonchalant about being a dick, but
The Apprentice was still hot at this point.
It was
so
hot.
He was still a pretty big, like,
yeah.
People liked him and thought he was funny and shit. And they hated McMahon just because we watch WWE, so we got to hate McMahon.
Right.
So McMahon was the obvious heel. I mean, today it'd probably be a different situation. I hate them both. But, like, the one thing I'll say about Trump is he's an upfront asshole.
Yeah.
He has never denied being a dick. And I kind of do respect that about somebody. I respect him? No.
No.
But, like, the whole thing here was that, like, you know, McMahon and Trump had been friends for years. You know, they're still friends. I mean, Linda McMahon worked in Trump's cabinet, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
His cabinet, for the presidency, not, she didn't actually work in a cabinet.
Thank you for that.
Well, anyway.
Oops, Stevie's gone. Nice having you.
I think he's joining our group chat or my video chat in a little while anyway. This match was entertaining and it was fun and Donald hitting Vince and it just had all the theatrics. Vince really played. He was such a good character and he was always good at getting humiliated. And the one thing you can say about Vince is, yes, he humiliated other people, but he always took his comeuppings when it was time. So I give this a 7-star.
I would give it an 8-star just because I think Umaga and Lashley worked their asses off.
Seeing both of them
yeah.
take like, those dives through the middle ropes and their bodies just crashing early on in the match.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I'll say the same thing you just said. McMahon knew how to take his comeuppance.
Yes.
Okay. I wish his daughter would have realized that in 2014, 2015, but no, she had to go over on everybody. You know, despite the fact that she also went over and ended up on top of Triple H on a nightly basis. But
But she, I mean, and to be honest with you, like, you know, we can talk a lot of shit about Vince McMahon because the WWE product sucks now. I still think that he's not the worst McMahon. I'm still giving that to Stephanie.
Okay.
But
well, she's not even in this mess, so.
Yeah. Well, luckily she had a child that prevented her from, you know, being on TV at the time. God bless that kid.
Get a point rolling, or it's going to Eric.
Eric, go ahead.
I enjoyed the match. Even rewatching it, I kind of cared for while watching it because it was like it's a different kind of Trump, different Trump back then. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I give it a 8 out of 10.
By the way, my rating would be an 8.
He's too busy rating Stephanie.
Yeah. That rating would be a -3.
All right, Clemens, what would you give it?
Thank God.
I'll give it an 8, so 8 out of 10.
Okay. Yeah, it was really good. Melina and Ashley in the Lumberjill match. Ashley came into this hurt.
Yeah, she broke her ankle, which... That's the excuse that they gave that, one, the match wasn't as great as, you know, the match wasn't that great. And two, like, she ended up taking time off anyway because she did legitimately hurt her ankle.
Yeah.
She ran down to the ring.
And she kicked Melina.
Yeah, so the fact that, you know, they said she had a broken ankle, that's why the match, you know, wasn't good. It's just like... how many people run on a broken ankle? I mean, I've seen people run on sprained ankles. I mean, Carson Wentz did it all season for the Colts.
Right.
But you don't run on a broken ankle. No. Or no sane person would.
I mean, they were both really green anyway at the time. I mean, Melina would get exponentially better as time goes on. She was already starting to. She was a cool character, good heel. And Ashley was a fun baby face. She was a good kind of star. I don't know about star, but I liked her back then. And it's not only because I was young and horny. I thought she was a good I thought she was a good character for the WWE. I thought she brought a lot of kind of star power. But like for a while, that women's division was just her, Mickey, and Trish. So I really liked what she brought to the table, and I thought she was good.
I think she had a good work ethic.
Yeah, she had a good work ethic.
She had a good work ethic, but also you got to remember, too, she was a single parent.
Yeah.
She had a 7-year-old daughter at home who she was doing this for. And a lot of her, you know, a lot of her issues had to do with the fact that she was away from her daughter. And her daughter was basically being raised by like a nanny or a father that didn't give a rat's ass or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And Ashley was away from her daughter. And when you're a single parent, you know, it does weigh on you.
Yeah. No, she was a good lady. It was nice meeting her. Rest in peace. She's a great soul. But I enjoyed her work for the company. She might not have been the best worker, but I think she was always a team player.
Yeah.
And her and Melina did their best. I give this a 3-star because it really wasn't anything. But
I would give it a 3-star, too. And I'll just say this. A lot of people talked a lot of shit about her when she passed. All those people can burn in hell. Because she didn't really do anything wrong to anybody. I mean, I get, like, the whole, you know, Matt Hardy thing and how Rebby Hardy would have issues with her. But, you know, don't talk shit about – and the fact that they also talk shit about Ashley's daughter.
Yeah.
That's what bothered me.
Yeah, well, fuck them all. There's always negative people, and they can all eat a dick. How many stars would you give this, Clint?
Honestly, I'll give it a 4.
Okay.
I'll give it 3.5. The ladies around the ring were 10 out of 10.
There you go, Eric. Did you give it a rating? Or?
I think I said 3.
I give it a 3.5.
Well, let's get into the meat and potatoes then. John Cena and Shawn Michaels. Main event, big match.
Well, according to Eric's line of thinking, the Lumberjills were the meat and potatoes.
Good line. All right, Michaels and Cena. WWE Championship. This goes about 30 minutes. Quinn, what were your thoughts on this one?
I loved it. I think if you watch the WrestleMania Rewind, it tells you this, the return, the call of this WrestleMania Returns. Michael Stein and always put on a great WrestleMania match, no matter who is with. And this was wonderful. And I think knowing that also they were tag team champions made it even better. I like this storyline better than Austin Michaels from 96 when they was tag team champions and they had to fight each other like King Orange, to say the truth.
Absolutely. What do you think, Eric?
I love, obviously, I'm a big HBK fan, so I love the match. I love any HBK match. So, yeah, I loved it. But I thought the Raw match, the night, it was the night after, right? Or the week after?
3 weeks after. It was actually my 21st birthday.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I love that one. That went an hour.
Yeah, was it? It was either my birthday or it was like right. It was like a few weeks before, but I'm pretty sure it was April 23rd. So, yeah. I mean, if somebody actually finds out that it wasn't, just let me know and let me know I'm an idiot. But yeah, that's when they went the hour in London, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to be Randy Orton, but he got caught for, I think he got suspended or something.
He fell asleep in his hotel room, and they found a bunch of pill bottles next to him.
Were they supposed to be, was John Cena going to drop the title to Randy?
No, the match was going to be Cena and Michaels, but Edge and Orton were supposed to have a match too. And they were going to go on before Cena and Michaels. But Orton got caught sleeping again in his hotel room. There were pill bottles next to him, so they sent his ass home. And they asked Cena and Shawn, they're like, hey, do you guys want to go an hour? By the way, that was not only my 21st birthday, but that was also John Cena's 30th birthday.
I forgot you two.
John Cena and I, yes, we share a birthday.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's actually why I'm always defending John Cena.
I love John Cena. He's one of my favorite people born on Med Day.
Yeah, I love John Cena.
No. Clint didn't like that one.
I was just going to say, you got a problem with people born on April 23rd?
He was defending you, I think. Shawn Michaels did what he did. He made Cena look like $1 million. The crowd kind of turned against him a little bit, but they came back on board. This was an 8-star match for me. I thought it was a really solid main event.
The best spot in the match is the pile driver on the steel steps. And by the way, there hadn't been a pile driver done in WWE that wasn't a tombstone pile driver in years. Because they weren't even letting Lawler do it anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give it 9 stars.
No shit.
I just thought it was that good.
Yeah, it was.
It was John Cena's best wrestling match at a WrestleMania.
I'm going to be biased and give it 10 out of 10.
Clint?
Yeah, I want to follow Eric and be 10 out of 10 as well.
Wait, so this match is better than Undertaker and Batista in your guys' eyes?
Yes.
I thought so. Right.
Well, we'll see everybody next week. We're going to be short 2 people. It was a great show.
Wait, now you want to fire Eric? I've been protesting for a year.
Hey.
We can't get rid of Clint, though. He brings us in a lot of people.
Yeah.
We need Clint.
And plus, you know, over the last couple of weeks, Clinton and I shared that special connection.
You know what? I'm going home. I'm going goodbye.
I'm going home.
Let's go home. Let's give our final thoughts on the pay-per-view. I thought WrestleMania 23 was extremely solid and one of the best Ruthless Aggression pay-per-views there is. You get all the people that made that era with Shawn, John Cena, Batista, even Taker, CM Punk, Edge, Randy. So this was just stacked, and I thought all the matches were really good, and everyone that wrestled had really good chemistry. So this whole show would get an 8 out of 10 for me. What do you think, Eric?
I thought this show was solid, an underrated WrestleMania. You got a good, great opener. You got three great main events. But I mean, and then the number Jill match, but the three main matches. So I'll give it an 8.5 out of 10.
What do you think, Quetta?
I want to give it a 7.5 out of 10. Michaels, mainly because Cena, Michaels, Gary Matista, and the Money in the Bank minor match.
Yep. All right, Dougie, take us home.
Okay. Sure you want me driving?
You didn't drink today, so.
Wow. There's some good news. So, again, I said earlier that this would be, like, if you were going to put, like, a list of, like, top 10 WrestleManias, for me, this would rank at, like, number 4.
Yeah.
And, again, I'm more of, like, the old school guy and all that. But in this Ruthless Aggression era, they were more about the wrestling. And I do think you had some really good wrestling matches on the show. Obviously, they had three main events that were actually main event quality. They could main event a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10.
Very good. All right, everybody. We will see everybody next week.
That was fun.
WrestleMania 3 and WrestleMania 8. It's a doubleheader.
Yeah, so if I go off on too many tangents next week, you're going to have to ball tap me.
That's fine. I think I might tonight anyway.
What?
I just feel like it. But this was a blast, and we'll see everybody next time.
All right, later.
Later.
And Doug will be in the steam room waiting for Clintus.
Goodbye.
Eric's running us this time.